I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They've been violating the ceasefire from the moment the ink was dry on the agreement. The trade was the United States stops its punishing and crippling military offensive against the Iranian regime. And in return, the regime opens up the strait. And it never did. It said, well, we'll open the strait, but only if you pay us a toll, or only if you use certain waters that are close to Iranian territory, and only if you coordinate with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So they've been, let's be clear, they've been breaking the ceasefire since day one. And this really raises the question, who is in charge here? Who is speaking for the Iranian regime, and who is making decisions about military strategy and diplomacy? It's supposed to be the Supreme Leader. We haven't heard word one from him since the opening day of the war. Rumors are that he's been severely wounded in the war.
And probably so. In fact, there had been reports that he had a head injury. He has not been seen from, he has not been voiced, nothing voiced from him. Now, of course, for what we know of him, I guess they could have somebody else read it and say that it's him speaking, but they haven't even attempted that. Now, keep in mind, inside Iran, the people of Iran don't know anything more than what the regime wants them to know, and whatever leadership is in control. Internet service has been shut off. So they're not aware of what's happening. They might as well be literally in North Korea. You get no information except what we deem you want, and you guarantee it's going to be propaganda. That's the difference between this nation and many others, even some of our allies. We're more free and open. And this White House, despite all the nonsense, the slandering, the name-calling, this White House has been more transparent than any previous. You want to compare this to Biden administration? Go ahead. You want to compare it to Obama administration, when we now know by testimony, and it's going to be presented and pursued, Obama was told directly in the Oval Office while the Russian hoax campaign hoax was underway, told by CIA Director John Brennan, this is a hoax. It's the Clinton campaign political trick. There's no truth to it. And Obama did nothing to say, stop it. We're not going to allow that to happen. I dealt with that in great detail yesterday because we were marking the death of President Richard Nixon. And Nixon got called up by McGovern and others. How dare you allow some of this stuff to be discussed in the Oval Office, in the White House? And, of course, tapes were rolling that eventually got, the information got dropped to a congressional committee as a major shock. And they were complaining, why didn't you say, get out of my office? You don't talk about that. And not to protect himself, but you just don't do that. I am a president of all the people. I was watching that documentary last night, Recount, the Gore-Bush ballot debate. The state of Florida ended up giving its 45 votes to Bush, which pushed him over the top. It's a very intriguing story. If you have not watched it, I watched it, I believe it's on Prime. Recount. Well-told, well-done documentary. It does show a lot more sympathy for Al Gore. But it also points out Gore's acknowledging it's bad for the country to continue to battle. Let's just say it's over. He said, I could win and still lose. And that was true at that point. And so ever since that point, the Democrats have believed we got to do what we can to forever and ever make sure we control the elections. That's why we had this thing happen the other day in Virginia. But again, that's being challenged and will be challenged more so. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. News, analysis, commentary, and education. And my question I raised in the last hour, we will get to later in this hour, is hell deep enough for one particular guy I'm going to bring to your attention? I say, no, it's not. It's not deep enough. It's not hot enough. I'll explain as we move forward. Again, you were listening in the beginning to Nathan Sales, who served as coordinator for counterterrorism during the first Trump administration, acknowledging from the moment the ink was dry on the agreement, they've been violating the ceasefire. The U.S. would stop punishing and crippling military offensive, and in return, the regime would open up the strait. It never did. It never did, and it continues. And they supposedly have taken over three ships trying to make their way through that somehow or another got past our blockade. I don't know if that is a fact or not, but that's the story going around. But the other issue I do know is true. What Carolyn Leavitt of the White House pointing out that Trump is not worried about all the naysayers that are out there, and there are more and they're growing louder every day because, oh my God, my gas price is now up another 2 cents a gallon. And again, and if that's tough for you and your family, I do feel for you. I do. But have you forgotten what this nation went through during World War II? Even if you could afford all the gasoline you wanted, you had a ration. You could only buy it on certain days and only a certain amount because others were going, other supplies were going to the war effort. And also your neighbor had to have a right to have some. So Carolyn Leavitt points out the fact Trump is not swayed by political noise.
Ultimately, he is the final decision maker, and he makes decisions in the best interest of the United States of America. And he doesn't care about the political consequence. He doesn't care about what he knows the fake news media will write. He does what he truly feels is in the best interest in our, of our country. And when it comes to Iran, of course, that is ensuring that they can never obtain a nuclear bomb, which they were very close to doing. And President Trump and his negotiating team found that the Iranian regime was pushing us around, stringing us along. They were looking forward to enriching more uranium to build these deadly weapons, and they were getting ready to attack our bases, our troops, and our allies in the region. And President Trump said, not on my watch. And that's why he ultimately made the decision to launch this successful operation several weeks ago, and why he continues every day to remain focused on the long game, to ensure that Iran can never obtain a nuclear weapon. And that's what he's going to achieve here, one way or another.
Yeah, but of course, to the leftists, it should have been done already. It should have been done. But they don't offer any options or plans. They offer negativity. We'll get to that again in more detail a little bit later in this segment. But what we are doing, according to retired four-star General Jack King, is making Iran feel pain.
So I think there is surely this is a real economic squeeze on Iran that exceeds anything we try to do with sanctions. And by the way, there are sanctions still imposed on Iran that are squeezing them further. So yes, but we don't underestimate the Iranians' resilience to stick this through despite the suffering. And they'll try to do that. But it'll look like they're formidable and they're not going to break. And it looks good until it's not. And we've seen that before with regimes that collapse. Everything appears to be okay, and then all of a sudden, within a day or two, they're gone. We can't predict that when that was happening, but there is a squeeze on them now that they have never, ever had before. And you add it to the damage that we've done. And after they've had 2 weeks now to talk together, get assessments from all their sporting leaders, maybe go out and actually see some things themselves. They have a clear view now of the damage that has been done to them militarily, the damage that has been done to them in terms of their ability to recover, in terms of the manufacturing capability that they have, which is formidable. This is a highly educated country, and they have huge technology capabilities there in terms of ballistic missiles, drones, launch systems, you name it. They've got a great capability. And what did we do? We took it all away from them. So they now have a clearer view of the amount of damage that is done. And I would imagine that is another pressure point that they didn't have as much during the bombing campaign as they do now after the assessments have come in. And they're feeling more pressure than they ever have.
And yet at the same time, they're releasing video, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard of Iran, of their IRGC taking control of a ship in the strait. How it got there, I don't know. I don't know exactly what they got. We also have seized a ship that we said was an unflagged ship going, trying to make its way through. So we stopped that one. Iran is now stating, Iran says opening the Strait of Hormuz impossible. And they claim to reject any future talks. That's what they're saying. And the parliament speaker for Iran, who really the Revolutionary Guard is dismissed as not having authority, I think someone got to him and said, I think you better bend. I think you better think this over. He is now saying what we've seen is a blatant violation of the ceasefire by the USA, not us. Karg Islands is a key point, oil terminal, 20 miles off the coast of Iran. And while I have said I do not want boots on the ground as an invasion force going into Iran, maybe a special mission in and out, and that's dangerous, I have said yes, if we need to take Karg Island, maybe that's where we would put the Marines we have in the region. But at the same time, today's modern warfare, I don't think we need to do that. They're not really getting oil processed to go through there now anyway. So technically it's shut down. But we could still wipe it out by air, drones, and so forth. And yet, retired General Kellogg is suggesting something I strongly oppose.
I think we need to finish it. And I think President Trump is really good about having an embargo, a blockade, to cut their economic lifeline. But I would even go a little bit further. I'm one of those that says, take some land. You don't. That doesn't mean you march on Tehran. But you can take Karg Island, which is 90% of their export of their oil. You can take the Strait Islands as well, like Larak, which is their command and control island, or Geisha. You have the capacity to do that. And then you control it. And you break their back economically, which President Trump is in the process of doing, you know, the heart of the matter, which happens to be Karg Island. Mm. And you take something that is their crown jewel. And, you know, you can fly over land all you want. You can pulverize it from the air. You can destroy it. And I was in the first Gulf War, and we had an air campaign that went on for 30 days. But after a period of time, you basically have to do what the Romans did. You put your soldiers in the mud, and you actually say, we're going to take something that's valuable to you, and we take land. Is there risk involved? Of course there is. Does it mean we couldn't get casualties? Of course there are. But this actually finishes the job, and I think that's where you want to be when you complete the job.
Well, we do want to finish the job, but again, I do not want boots on the ground. I hear what he's saying. You can pulverize the island, and you still haven't taken it all out. We saw that back during World War II when it came to Iwo Jima. 7,000 Marines died in trying to take Iwo Jima. And, of course, we know there are many hidden in various locations on Karg Island as well. But I would say bomb it, bomb it, bomb it, and bomb it again. Like an Iranian leader. Which, again, the parliament speaker says there's a blatant violation of the ceasefire. And the IRGC is supposedly taking control. Supposedly now in control. Trump says we are now opening fire on boats dropping mines in the Hormuz Strait. But leftists continue to attack Trump. Pompous Lawrence O'Donnell of MSN Now. Perfect example.
Of course, no one violates Trump deadlines more than Donald Trump. And so he simply made his deadline disappear yesterday in a public statement claiming that Iran negotiators were just begging him to extend the deadline so that they could come up with a reasonable proposal for Donald Trump to consider, to which the Iranian government said, the Islamic Republic of Iran has welcomed dialogue and agreement and continues to do so. Breach of commitments, blockade, and threats are main obstacles to genuine negotiations. The world sees your endless hypocritical rhetoric and contradiction between claims and actions. And so, as of day 53 of Donald Trump's war, all of the explosions and death that Donald Trump has caused in Iran, including the Tomahawk missile strike on a girls' school that killed hundreds of people, in all of that, Donald Trump has accomplished nothing for the American people in his war, and nothing for the world.
He is correct about a strike on a girls' school, but we do not know if it was a full accident. I think it was. But we also know that the Iranian terrorist groups are cowards. They hide behind women and children. And, of course, he makes a point to bring that up. But I don't recall any time Lawrence O'Donnell called out Hamas for its invasion of Israel, killing 1,000-plus and taking hostages. Did he ever call them out for that? No, I don't think so. Do your search. Follow it up. If you got it, send it to me. I'll take a look at it. By the way, an analysis on CNN says Trump's economic theory to get on gas prices sounds like a long shot. In other words, we're going to get gas prices back under control. A long shot. What does that mean? Not going to happen today or tomorrow, probably. I don't know. But that's what they're pushing right now. But there's one thing that Trump did. And this has apparently been verified in numerous ways. Iran had planned to publicly hang 8 women as an example to others. Shut up. Do what we tell you to do. And Carolyn Leavitt says Trump stepped in.
Only President Trump could save the lives of these 8 beautiful Iranian women who he has received direct word from the Iranian regime, or what's left of it, that their lives are going to be spared. And that comes as a result of President Trump asking them directly not to kill these young, beautiful women who certainly deserve a chance to continue living their lives freely and peacefully. And now that will happen thanks to President Trump, because he's a humanitarian at heart. I understand this news story about the scheduled execution of these women came across the president's desk. And again, he made that direct plea. And the Iranians have answered and have agreed not to execute them.
Of course, that could change. And others do support the statement you just heard from Carolyn Leavitt. Coming back, we're going to look at crime inside one of our major cities and how much it's been decimated. And great news there. But also a question, what is the deepest hell you can imagine? You might need to dig deeper. I'll explain. Plus, George Soros dares call Trump. I can't say it without laughing. I'm sorry. George Soros dares call Donald Trump a con man. Wow. Pottle calling the kettle black, right? Lock and load.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
President Trump is a con man and the ultimate narcissist who wants the world to revolve around him. When his fantasy of becoming president came true, his narcissism developed a pathological dimension.
That is George Soros. He knows a thing or two about being narcissistic. But how dare he speak from his own lips that Trump is a narcissist? Well, first of all, let me admit something to you. I think Trump is a narcissist, as is every man or woman who wants to be president. You have to be. You have to have that big ego to say, I want to do that. And even if you want to do it for your country, you have a narcissistic attitude that I can make this happen. But George Soros is the last one to be calling Trump a narcissist without acknowledging his own, not just failings, but his plots. His plots. This station, News Talk STL, we make it very clear, and in fact, we've got it posted outside our door, Soros free. Some people still haven't caught on to what it is. One person asked me the other day, I walk past the door at your studio every day and says, Soros free. What does that mean? Is that some kind of odorizer or something? I said, yeah, I wish. I wish we could spray it and wipe out George Soros. No, we're talking about a lefty, a liberal, a Marxist, a communist who wants to change our nation. And he's got a foothold on a lot of it right now. I told you, Larry Connors USA, every hour, we're going to bring you news, commentary, analysis, and education. Mark this down as part of your education. If you didn't already know it, maybe you knew some, but maybe not all of it. 60 Minute, or rather CBS News, sold all of its radio stations. It was in debt and having all kinds of problems. It sold it. And then the Odyssey Group had to do the same thing. They had a list of 227 radio stations in 45 media markets, which included mainly CBS stations. George Soros took on that $400 million in Odyssey debt for 50 cents on the dollar. And the company might have more than 20% foreign ownership, which is going to be questioned. In the St. Louis area, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? In the St. Louis area, again, this includes some former CBS stations, now in the hands of George Soros. KMOX Radio, the home of Rush Limbaugh at one point, now held by George Soros. KFTK-FM, which is another conservative talk voice, now held by George Soros. KYKY, KEZK, KF, or rather WFUN, WHHL. I have friends working at a lot of these stations, and I don't wish them any harm in any way. And so far, they have not been silenced, but we're not quite to the midterm and certainly not the general election. I don't expect it to hold together, because if George Soros has his thumb in your eye, do you think he's going to back off when you start crying it's hurting? He's going to use these, weaponize these stations, and the FCC may battle him, but it's going to come a little too late because he already has control of them. So George Soros can say what he wants about Trump, but let's be clear about who and what he is and what his plans are, and they're not for your good. And again, as I point out, like KMOX Radio, used to be a staunch patriotic American station. Not saying it's not now, but it's owned by George Soros, so you tell me. Same thing with another sister station in town, KFTK. And again, I have good friends working at these stations, and I fear for their future. They want to tell you, oh, it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. They, I can't believe they don't know George Soros better than that, but it's probably the line they're being fed and they're parroting it, to be quite honest. That's my view. And again, I like these people. I like their families. I have worked with some in the past. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. But if you think George Soros is not going to use his power over these stations at some point, oh my God, you need help. Speaking of help, Memphis, Tennessee has had violent crime for a long time. It's a blue city. A blue city controlled primarily. It's blue as every way. It's a liberal stronghold within the red state of Tennessee. Shelby County and the mayor of Shelby County and Memphis, they're both Democrats. The city consistently votes Democrats in state and federal elections. They've had a major crime. But note this, the latest data from the Memphis Police Department shows violent crime down more than 40% in this year so far. 40% so far compared to the same period last year. Part of it has to do with President Trump sending in the Memphis Special Task Force, a coalition of local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, and the Tennessee National Guard. Remember all of those complaining, we don't want this, we don't want this? Really? Now your crime rate is down more than 40%? The overall violent crime rate down 40%, aggravated assault down 28%, arson down 33%, homicide down 36%, motor theft down almost 64%, sexual assault down 27%. Is that not what you want for your community? Of course you do. It makes no difference if you have a blue city or red city mayor as long as they're enforcing crime. And they will tell you, if we can't do the little things, as Mondami has said in New York, like fix potholes, how can we be expected to do the big things? We don't expect you to do the big things. You're fixing a pothole is a big deal, but you're not fixing the really big deals. I raised this question at the beginning of today's program. How deep do you think hell should be? How hot should it be? In this next story, I want to tell you, I think hell should be a lot deeper and a lot hotter. This involves a 10-year-old boy. The FBI says he was reportedly taken from Cuba, reportedly, but all the facts line up. Taken from Cuba by his biological father and his father's partner without the boy's mother. They wanted to take the boy for a transgender reassignment surgery. They say he identifies as a female child, supposed to be going on a camping trip to Canada with his biological father. And once there, they disappeared, crossed the U.S.-Canada border, took a flight from Vancouver to Mexico City, and later a flight to Merida, Mexico, then to Havana, Cuba, where the surgeons were waiting to castrate this child. According to court documents that have been filed, this child was born male. But the father had convinced him, you're really a female. We need to get that changed. His mother fought against it. So the father, according to the FBI charges, makes up a ruse. Well, I'm going to take him on a camping trip in Canada. That was never the plan. They get to Canada, they take another flight, they head right to Mexico and then to Cuba. Police in Utah got word of it. They started investigating. And they said then they also got the FBI investigating with them and said it was a planned operation. They found all the evidence in the home, $10,000 in withdrawn cash, detailed plans to empty bank accounts, learn Spanish, get tourist visas, put items in storage, found notes with instructions from a mental health therapist in D.C. related to, quote, gender-affirming medical care for children, and please send me $10,000. They were going to take this child against some mom's wishes and have his penis cut off and basically castrate the child. Why? Well, because the father is saying, I think you're a girl, and his male companion says, I think so too. Let's take care of this. Mama doesn't understand. The child is now back in the custody of his mother, safe. But I ask you again, if all this is correct, and I think a lot of it is validated and backed up, but of course, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. But based on this, the question again is hell deep enough? Is hell deep enough, hot enough for someone who would do this to their own child? It's bad enough to do it to others, but to their own child? They had a plan to do this. They're going to take their child and change his life forever. Killing your own child is bad. In this case, also bad. How deep is hell? How hot is hell? My answer, not enough. Coming up, bold steps underway to help you get into affordable housing.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. And NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The president has really been laser focused here on the domestic front to bringing housing affordability down for the American people. Every dollar counts when Americans want to buy a home. And that also pertains to the fees that you have to pay when you're getting a mortgage. It pertains to the regulatory environment. And so now we're increasing competition. We're increasing the innovativeness. This is for credit worthy, trustworthy people. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about it. President Trump had a law in 2018 to enact this. But now with Director Pulte, myself, the president, and others, we are taking bold steps to open up the credit market for creditworthy people, for Gen Z, millennial, right, first-time homebuyers, using the Vantage Score, using the FICO 10T. So we're excited about the days to come.
That's exciting news if it works. Now, put that caveat in there. If you listen to the way it was described then by the HUD Secretary, Scott Turner, we're taking bold steps to open up the credit market. To open up the credit market for credit-worthy people. We're Gen Z millennials, first-time home buyers. We're going to help them be able to buy a home. We're going to change and reevaluate things. But my caution, here's my caution. You remember 2008? You might have been caught in that. Maybe you lived through it, didn't know you were in it. Maybe you were too young at that point to understand it. The government was demanding that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, our two government agencies that oversee housing, just give loans away. And banks below them were told, give it away. Give it to people. If they want a home, give them a home. But they don't have a job. Give them a home. But they don't have a job. Give them a home. They can only make 1 month's payment, then they can't make any more. Give them a home. And that's what they were doing. And then a few months into it, they're not getting any more money for the payments to the mortgages. So here it comes once again, not just the tax man, but the mortgage collector and everybody else. And the houses are taken away from them and put on the market. And the housing market went to hell. And people were strapped and suffering. Even people who had good credit, they're suddenly upside down because houses on their block that were worth a certain amount, now it's an abandoned house, weeds overgrowing it, and it depletes the value of their neighborhood. It was a multifaceted, multi-layer, divisive action. But it's kind of like a Mondami dream. We're going to have free grocery stores. You're going to be able to go to a grocery store and get a certain amount of goods all free. Isn't that great? When? About 3 years from now. About 3 years from now, 26, 29. What are they smoking? It's a pipe dream, that's for sure. But based on what the HUD Secretary Scott Turner said, we are taking bold steps to open the credit market for credit-worthy people. Now, there's a key. They're going to have a job. They're going to have money coming in. And they're going to help them get into a house. I like that. especially Gen Zers. They're making money, but they're not making that much. Give them a break. Help them out. They want to become homeowners, the American dream. Well, part of it on the credit score has to do with FICO scores. That's your federal income credit score, which you have to present every time, or they're going to look at every time you're buying a house or buying a car. Well, to that point, the director of the U.S. Federal Housing, William Pulte, says, we're going to do what we can to help there.
President Trump is absolutely committed to having first-time home buyers be able to get into homes. And for a long time, especially over the last 4 years, under Joe Biden, nobody could afford a home. And so President Trump has come in and crushed affordability. He's crushed all types of inflation that's gone on. And so it's very proper that we're focused on credit scores. You know, people, right, they look at their FICO score oftentimes and they think, man, this isn't reflective of what I've really actually been paying on time. So this will hopefully allow more people to access a home who can, frankly, afford to do so.
Yeah, if you have a credit score in the 500s, good luck on getting a car, much less a home. You have a FICO score that's a lot higher, well, you're probably going to be immediately approved. But then, of course, if you don't have a job, you can't keep it up. The highest possible FICO score is 850. Scores generally range from 300 to 850. 850 considered perfect, exceptional, and is rare. Less than 2% of Americans are believed to have that. So lenders will treat any score above the 760 as 800 as excellent. Not quite 850, but they'll consider it. But how many Americans actually have a perfect credit score? Like I said, you're looking at less than 2%. So they're going to do what they can to reevaluate this and to see what they can do to help them. For requirements, a 4.1% average credit utilization rate means no missed payments, a long, consistent history of credit must be shown. Who has not fallen behind a payment from time to time, be it a credit card, a car, maybe a mortgage? I know I have in the past. I don't have to worry about either now because I've been in a position where, one, I don't own a home. I refuse to own a home again. I know I'm paying rent. It's throwing money to the wind. But I don't want ownership. I don't want everything that comes with it. But, of course, if you got a vehicle, unless you got it paid off, it's going to affect you. And if you got a low FICO score, trying to get another vehicle, good luck with that. We have another issue in this nation we need to be worried about, and Senator Ted Cruz made it front and center.
In January of this year, a Google engineer was convicted of stealing artificial intelligence secrets for the Chinese government. This is not a pattern of isolated incidents. This is a coordinated campaign directed by the Chinese Communist Party to steal its way to global dominance. Mr. Cohen, both the U.S. government and private sector analysts estimate that the American economy loses between $400 billion and $600 billion each and every year due to China intellectual property theft.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to be lost because China is stealing intellectual property. Even Axios reports it this way. Axios is left-leaning. U.S. accuses China of industrial-scale campaigns to steal AI secrets. As you well know, one of my sponsors, PRI Global, specializes on artificial intelligence, and they're well aware of what's going on behind the scenes. In fact, they have their own lab where they develop AI programs to benefit not just big business, but small business. Because everyone's going to need to have a good handle on it. But they also have to be aware of how much is going to be stolen from us and used by the Chinese and other spy agencies. The Trump administration is accusing China-backed actors of running deliberate industrial-scale campaigns to distill and copy American frontier AI models, such as PRI Global and others. Why does this matter? Well, this pushes a U.S.-China AI rivalry into very confrontational territory. It could complicate Trump's reportedly upcoming visit still to Beijing. The director of the White House Office of Science and Technology sent out a memo to federal agency heads, again accusing China of mostly China-based actors using proxy accounts to evade detection and expose proprietary information. This comes again as President Trump plans to meet with Premier Xi next month. He wants to reset parts of U.S.-China relationship. But the big picture is, as you underscored by Senator Cruz in, we've long accused China of stealing this intellectual property. You want to open a business? You want to have some of it in China? Yeah, you can do that. But then they want access to everything you do, all your books, all your proprietary information, or you don't operate. And too many companies were anxious for the dollar. They said, oh, what harm? What harm? Fools soon parted from their money and a threat to our nation. The story that broke the other day about the Southern Poverty Law Center was actively soliciting money to fight hate groups such as the KKK, and yet was apparently also giving money to these same hate groups to keep them alive so they could use them as a prop to raise more money. But Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat, was recently praising them.
Now, in other times, Democrats and Republicans alike would rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center to help us keep track of the movements of violent white supremacy in the country. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been a vigilant voice in civil society against radical white nationalist violence and extremism, neo-Nazism, and other forces across the political spectrum that spread organized hate from any quarter. The president, however, wants to undermine civil society organizations and to reduce our ability to defend ourselves against the virus of racial violence.
Jamie Raskin is talking about this government is going after the Southern Law Poverty Center. Yes, it was built upon the idea that we're going to protect Americans, not just Americans of color, but Americans in general. And we're going to go against those who are bad for our nation. The KKK has nothing good for our nation. Aryan Nation, nothing good for our nation. Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club, no. National Socialist Party, no. That's America's Nazi Party. And yet the DOJ has now declared that the Southern Poverty Law Center is a criminal organization. And Carolyn Leavitt of the White House said, and I agree, I saw that indictment. I saw the acting general and FBI director do a press conference. It is shocking to me to learn of the egregious violations of the law. I think this is a story that should be on the front page of every newspaper in this country, because they've been duping supporters and American taxpayers far too long. It is a criminal organization, and that's what not just what our DOJ is saying, or Todd Blanche saying that. That's what a grand jury indictment says. I know you can say a grand jury with a proper district attorney can indict a ham sandwich. But an Alabama grand jury indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center with 11 counts of wire fraud, false statements to a federally insured bank, conspiracy to commit concealment of money laundering. In the beginning, the SPLC began operating with the right ideas. They got hijacked. Not only that, then they realized, we can play both sides of the fence here. See, if we wipe out all the opposition, we'll have no more money coming in. So we got to keep these guys alive. So they were taking money, according to the allegations, and unbeknown to most donors, in turn giving some of that money to racist groups like the KKK, something like $3 million minimum. Because you got to have an enemy to fight. You're not going to raise money if you defeated the enemy. You talk about a bait and switch operation. Jeez. It reminds me, I told you earlier that I was watching on Prime last night. I had not had a chance to see it before. The show called Recount, starring Kevin Spacey. Not trying to make a hero of him, but it was basically the story of the Bush-Gore recount because of the, quote, hanging Chad, remember? And dimpled ballots, how they would be counted or not counted. Went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court gave a two-prong ring decision that, well, there's obviously been harm, but the deadline's passed, so nothing can be done. And our ruling applies only to this case now. But in the midst of that movie, there were a lot of white GOP young people outside the court yelling, "No peace, no justice. No peace, no justice." Where have you heard that? You've heard it on the streets of Wellston and elsewhere across the nation and by minority crowds protesting police brutality and everything else. So they hijacked that saying, as well as those groups that truly meant to protest in peace got hijacked by those who wanted to create more chaos. You got to be aware of who's around you, who you associate with. We'll be back here tomorrow. Make sure you join us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.